Finally, guys, we are 4 or 5 games away from the end of the NBA regular season. I said regular season, I lost my mind. What I meant to say is the NBA season in general. It's over. It's over. We have 4 or 5 games left and it's done. And we'll be able to then turn our attention towards the off season, which always feels like goes by way quicker than what people initially think when it starts. So and this year NBA offseason could be one of the more interesting ones, but let's not get too sidetracked as we just had a couple of big playoff series and that ended. Let's start with the team that's been out for 9 days. Damn, they've been out for a long ass time. 7 days now, they'll be off by 9 before game one starts. The Denver Nuggets, as most people predicted in here, I think everybody actually said so, that the Denver Nuggets would beat the Los Angeles Lakers. Most of us said 5 or 6 games. As we thought the Lakers would probably provide more fight, which to be fair, they did. Most of the games were pretty close. So it wasn't blowouts. But Denver did end anyway, ended up sweeping them. So let's get started with that series first and foremost. What was your major takeaway? You could pick either team you want to talk about here. What was your major takeaway from what you've seen on the court, either side?
My major takeaway from the Lakers is Anthony Davis's ability to score the basketball is far too inconsistent for the Lakers to ever be considered a contender.
That's
I
fair.
mean, like, what did he average against the Nuggets? Was it like,
27.
I
He had a
swear,
solid
if he
series,
averaged like
though.
20 a game, I would be surprised because it did
He
not
did because
seem
he had
that
a
way watching the whole
40-point game. He
game.
did
So,
27 a game, but I think early in the
yeah,
season he
it
did a lot
probably
of damage.
carried
He
him.
had like that
Yeah, because
40-point
he had
game,
a
I think,
40-point
game one.
game in game one, so
In game one.
probably inflated his stats.
And then LeBron also had a 40 piece in
Let me
game four.
see. All right.
It's
Somehow,
the game.
yeah, he averaged 27 a game. All right, this is being carried by 2 games.
It's the game, yeah, exactly. It's the game-to-game thing with Anthony Davis. That seems to.
It's being carried by game one and game three. Game two and four, he was not good at all offensively.
The thing,
I mean,
as you said, Anthony
bro,
Davis.
you can make a real argument. Tristan Thompson was more impactful in his minutes than Anthony Davis in game four.
I
You'd be
would
right about
he's good in the
that.
fourth
I'd
corner,
agree.
but overall, yeah.
AD
He
set the pour at the end,
definitely
right?
showed more energy and effort.
Yeah.
I think seeing Tristan Thompson outplay him kind of woke him up a little bit. I think it kind of, because then he became more aggressive, was making the shots, played really some really good defensive plays at the end of the game. I'm not even gonna lie. And then the one shot Jokic hit was great defense. I just don't know how the hell he hit that shot. What
Yeah,
was it
his
like?
defense is consistent. Like he's
Yeah.
obviously like one of the best defenders in the league,
He
so
was at world best levels this postseason. It's nuts.
yeah,
I'm not even gonna
arguably,
lie.
yeah.
That defense was sensational from him for throughout the postseason. But again, that doesn't matter. Well, I shouldn't be cruel like that. It does matter, but also Anthony Davis, you're considered one of the best in the world because of his two-way ability. And just it's been a consistent trend too. I don't even think this has been like even against Golden State, it was up and down, Memphis up and down.
Yeah.
So it's really just a
But
continuation of what we've seen this postseason. It's not like he did, I wouldn't say he did any worse than before, to be fair. Or I thought he was actually slightly better offensively than he was, but again, as Felice said, there's like he had like two re good games, and then the other 2 games was
4 for 15 and 6 for 15 in games 2 and 4 is just like, come on, man.
right. So
He's
it's
got a that stretch of his shooting in the bubble might be looked as one of the fakest things to ever happen in basketball. Because I mean, Jesus Christ, bro, the decline in jump shooting since then has been insane.
yeah, no.
And due to the fact that he can't shoot, he couldn't. You can't take Jokic away from the rim because he doesn't have to respect AD at all. So it doesn't open up driving lanes or nothing.
I just don't get the lack of aggressiveness too. Like in game one, he was very aggressive and he was able to, Jokic obviously can't stop AD. And we've seen a lot of that in game one where there wasn't much resistance. And then there's, as you said, those game two, 2 of 15. But again, you gotta go at Jokic all game, force fouls. He's gonna foul you, he's gonna give you the fouls. I think Jokic had a couple games. Was it like 3 of the games? I think he was in foul trouble.
Yeah.
So it's just not enough aggressiveness from AD. And then LeBron, same thing with LeBron, but obviously he was dealing with an injury. Like he needs surgery on one of his on his right foot. So I can understand why he wasn't able to be as aggressive as he wanted to be. But Anthony Davis, you're healthy, he's gonna be on you. You should not be having a 40-year-old with a bad ankle take on that role. It was bad. It was bad. I'll give it to Denver though. How about Jalen? What's your takeaway? Either side.
Either side, I say that I think that Denver's offense is so good that it makes up for their not lackluster defense, but their good, not great defense. Denver does a good job at containing role players, but the stars of the team definitely do get off on them. If you watch the Timberwolves series, you know, Anthony Edwards got his, obviously Devin Booker got his until he rolled his ankle. LeBron was getting his with a hurt ankle. Anthony Davis got his a few games, but, you know, it's Anthony Davis. His effort is usually not game to game. Who else? Kevin Durant got his, you know, when he wasn't shooting tour dates. But I think that Denver's offense is so dominant and so well-oiled that it masks the fact that their defense is not, like, not great. Like, if their offense wasn't as good as it was, then I would say that the defense isn't championship level. But obviously, you know, their offense is as good as it is, so it obviously makes the team in general championship level. So I think that my main takeaway is that Denver, no one, unless you have an elite defense and a generational type defense, I can't think of a defense in the league that might have been able to handle Denver.
I
really can't think of like any defense in the league that would have been able to contain.
You need a unique combination of players in order to try to stop Denver. I don't even think there's like a possible like combination of players that like you could like legit just stop their offense, because it's just like they have so much versatility to offense.
Exactly.
No, they do.
They have the perimeter. They're... They have the interior. They have everything, honestly. So,
and then obviously Jamal Murray doesn't want to miss. So I mean,
yeah,
compound all of that, and then KCP all of a sudden became the greatest role player to ever step foot on a basketball court as well since this postseason has begun, and then all of this combined, definitely. I got to apologize to him because I didn't think they were this good myself personally. But when you look at how outside of Jokic, obviously, I think everybody knows how good Jokic is. Unless, obviously, you're national media and you don't watch. What was, like, some of the stuff I read on national media, like, is he finally in the superstar tier? What the hell does that even mean? How is it back-to-back MVP? Even, anyway. But those other guys, KCP, Jamal Murray, once again, being a playoff riser like he was in the bubble. So it was really... wasn't, you can't say it was a bubble thing because it was a continuation of it this season. Aaron Gordon, credit to him, he's had some big games, and obviously defensively, you know what he does. And even in moments, obviously Christian Braun hasn't been as good, but in round one against the Timberwolves, he had some impactful games. Jeff Green had his moments as well. So, and the funny thing is, even defensively, like, I don't know if you got, was it game four? Yeah, I think it was game four. They're down 15 at halftime, and they completely locked down, like shut off the Lakers' faucet in the third quarter. It's impressive stuff for a team that I think most people, and rightfully so, most people thought that their defense wouldn't be able to hold up against an entire team. So, I mean, I'm interested to see now when they face a team like Miami. I think this will easily be the best shooting team they'll face in the playoffs. So I think it'll be very, very interesting to see how that ends up going. With the way some of Miami's role players are balling up. Aza, we'll either takeaway from either side, main takeaway?
I mean, it's like around the same thing. I think Denver's roster as a whole offensively is like they got one of everything. I think Aaron Gordon was like kind of the final piece because they finally got a four that can defend. Even though he hasn't been great defensively in the playoffs, you got to look at who's matching up against, like Kevin Durant, LeBron, even though he's injured, Anthony Davis sometimes as well. So he's had tough assignments in the playoffs. But overall, he's obviously still a great defender. KCP is like the perfect role player for them. I cannot believe we traded that man for Monte Morris and Will Barton. That shit is crazy. But yeah, he's like the perfect 3-and-D player. And bro, I don't know if y'all watch this man a lot. This man does not miss a mid range. I swear every mid range this dude takes.
I don't know. I don't know what be going on, but every time he pump fakes and he steps into that like pull up jumper, that shit just like never misses.
It never misses, bro. Even when he was in Washington, like that shit never misses. But yeah, even Bruce Brown, obviously, made headlines.
Bruce Brown is a legend.
made headlines off the court, but on the court.
Whoa, what you mean by that? Him owning D'Lo? Is that what it is?
Right. If you know, you know. All right. But now Bruce Brown, obviously great role player as well. Kind of crazy how the Nets let him go, but they got the right role players, and they got arguably the best two man game in basketball. Actually, I don't even know. I'm gonna say arguably.
Bro said Jamal crazy Murray, how the Nets let him go. Like the Nets have Jamal been doing Murray, nonsense.
Oh, Jokic,
that's a W.
Yeah, Jokic and Murray are the best two man game in basketball. I think that's undebatable right now.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, and they're hard. Have they lost at home?
How about Caleb Brown and Jimmy? No, they haven't. They haven't.
Yeah, so they have. They're unbeatable at home too. So, yeah, they're the best team. They're the favorite for the reason in the finals. So, it wasn't really that shocking. Although the Lakers kind of kept it close in four games. It kind of reminded me of that Portland series in 2019 against the Warriors, where Portland was up all four games and they got swept. I don't think LA was up in game. Were they up in game three?
They're up in game three by like
six. So they're up in
nothing game, major. Right? No, they were not up in game one or game two. Game one, they went down like 20 early. They didn't rally back.
Game two, they're up though.
Game two, they're up by some, but I think it's like an insignificant amount. I don't think it's like.
Well, until Jamal Murray went crazy. Yeah, they were up.
Yeah.
Jamal Murray. Yeah, Lakers, they overachieved this season. I think this was a good season for them, so I won't be too mad if I'm a Lakers fan. But you got to get rid of that man D'Lo because he was a complete liability the entire series.
Can't say I'm surprised, ladies and gentlemen. Can't say I'm surprised. Don't want to say I was right, but I was right. So,
Who would have guessed? It's crazy.
It's funny how Laker fans was clowning Mike Conley, and he would have been way better for them.
Yeah, Mike Conley.
Yeah. D'Lo had what 30 in game six against the Warriors or something?
Against Memphis.
Fake.
Against
that's,
Memphis.
That's what we define as fake.
Yeah, no. I wish he could have given us 130 piece last year. We could have beaten Memphis. He would have given him one. Just one.
Just one.
He could have
given us 13. I knew when that trade happened that when they got those players back, I was like, I'm not that moved, bro.
Yeah.
Like it is what it is.
I think
I knew Beasley would be streaky.
Yeah.
D'Lo on paper should have been a good fit, but then it's D'Angelo Russell at the end of the day. You know he's just going to suck when the playoffs come around. And then Vanderbilt, you knew was going to like be a player that you had to bench quick in the playoffs. I mean, that was fucking obvious.
Yeah, Vanderbilt was very clear. D'Lo is just the lack of jump. When you watch him play, just the lack of being able to pressure the rim is a killer when you can't make a jump shot. And then
if you can't pressure the rim and your jump shot is a liability, then...
And he doesn't play defense, so there's no value in having him on the basketball court. And he really, really badly hurt the value of his contract this summer. That if he really did good for the Lakers in the playoffs, I think he would have probably got what he wanted. But now it's like,
they're in a tough hole too. Because like I feel like if they don't get Kyrie, they're just stuck with D'Lo. Because I don't know who else is. Like obviously Damian Lillard, if he becomes available, they don't have the assets to get him. And I don't know what other PG they're in the market, unless I'm forgetting someone.
Dave isn't available anymore, clearly. So
there's like not really that many point guards available in free agency.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I saw the craziest jersey swaps on Twitter. It was like Gabe Vincent and a lot of the Heat role players. I don't know why that should make me laugh because it would be so ironic that those players just become bums in Los Angeles.
Oh, I just won't be shocked.
That's that Heat culture, man. If they did go revert back to them usual selves, you can't even hit on Heat culture no more. Like that shit clearly is real, very very real thing.
Very real thing.
My main takeaway from this series was, I'm Felice. It's time for you to believe it.
Nope, they gotta hold up a trophy for me to believe that shit. There's got to be something going on.
That's that Miami Black Magic just hit me.
What is Felice at the belief?
Try to slander me.
We talking about the Heat series?
No. I want to give my takeaway from the Denver series.
Oh, okay.
I want to give props to Mike Malone. He
that
had
man talked the shit. It backed it up.
That number one, yes. You know, every day you come on the podium, you cook the media. You know, he wasn't talking about me. Shout out Mike Malone. He wasn't talking about me, but he would talk his trash about, you know, that Lakers is the first team ever down 1-0 to be gassed up. Then game two, they went out, took care of business. Even though Jamal Murray obviously went crazy. And one thing I really like about him is the fact that he doesn't do too much. He sticks with what's working. If he forces the Jokic Jamal Murray two-man game a lot, which is smart. You don't go away from what's your best avenue. The correct rotations, I mean, he'll play whoever's good. And then if somebody has a bad stint, he'll bench him. He'll give everybody on his bench a chance. Yeah. But yeah, I got to give full props to Mike Malone. That was a masterclass in coaching. It's just he wasn't even doing too much. That's the crazy part. Like, he's just doing the right things and not forcing anything. And then they ended up beating the Lakers anyway. So props to Mike Malone. He deserves all the credit. Even though I think there was a Denver fans just begging for him to get fired like 2 months ago.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. Like, I don't think any team likes their head coach.
Yeah, any fan base like
bro, that. Bro, there has to be at least less than 10 teams that legitimately like their coach.
Yeah.
Like, at all. Like literally at all.
Miami's the only one I can think about where their coach is universally liked.
But the Clippers fans literally want Ty Lue.
It's so funny how Suns fans want Ty Lue. It's like, do they know?
I mean, Ty Lue in the playoffs, he's a great coach. He's a good guy. But he's so stubborn. Like, he's too adjust. Stuck into like, his ways. Yeah. He has his guys that he, like, are gay for. I don't know, man.
But, yeah, credit to Mike Malone. That's my main takeaway. I'm not going to even spend 10 seconds on this, but I do want to just tell the world, I told you so about D'Lo. I told you so.
Shock.
So people try to say, what did he say? Minnesota was holding me back. He thought he could get that off and then score 8 points per game. Put me on the court, I could at least make 1-3. Wide open. I'm just saying. I'm not saying I'm as good as D'Lo, but at least give me one look from the field. Like four shots from the field wide open. Like LeBron generated me a wide open look. I'm
you saying they need to give you a chance?
Yeah, I'm telling you. LeBron, call me up, man. I'm a sharpshooter. They call me the Somali Steph. I could get you some threes, LeBron.
They call you what?
That's crazy.
All right. On to the next one. We almost saw history in this one, but, you know, Jimmy Butler, you know.
I wish. Said,
exactly. Miami, the second eighth seed, right, ever?
Yep, second eighth seed ever.
Yeah.
Second eighth seed
ever. It would be the 99 Knicks.
The Knicks.
Oh, okay. But they got fucking destroyed by the Spurs.
And then I wouldn't be shocked if we see the same thing repeat itself, but I'm not going to hate. We'll get to that. The Miami Heat won in 7, much more dramatic and longer than it probably should have been. Against Boston.
Yeah.
We'll start with Jalen this time. Either side.
Yeah, I was the last one to speak. I bet.
Oh, okay. Azai.
Okay. I'm playing.
My opinion matters more, buddy.
Bro has some strong thoughts. I know he has strong thoughts on about these teams, but all right.
You go ahead.
All right, so I got a lot to say, man.
We can
first
tell.
Of all, Jalen Brown is a bum.
Whoa.
Nah, I'm sorry. Sorry, man. Jalen Brown
all is overrated.
He does the score, bro. He does nothing to score. I've been saying this all playoffs, honestly, all season long.
Me too.
But he provides nothing other than scoring. His defense regressed. Like, as soon as I saw
it has his defense. Backboard, yeah.
Of course, a certain fat fuck kept Jalen Brown's defensive reputation up. Of course.
Who would that be?
I wonder who.
Yeah, all right. You know what I'm talking about. A certain left-handed player.
Bro, but as soon as I saw him getting backdoored by Duncan Robinson, I knew it was GG's, man. I knew it was GG's. But his handle game, what is he in, year 8?
Yep.
I don't understand. And it's so crazy because he's improved his handles. But they were, like, generationally bad to just bad now. Like, they're still ass, too. Like, but I just don't get it with him. Because he's, like, kind of a low IQ player, too. Teams make him go left, and he cannot go left at all, too.
They make him go left, and they show with a body, and then it's over. He's either pulling some retarded shot, or he's turning it over.
The thing is, how I are mean, you? My thing is, I don't even want to hate because I obviously I'm not a basketball player, but like your whole life is just that. How do you still suck dribbling a ball to your left side? I don't.
It doesn't make sense, and it's the fact that he's eligible for a near $300 million contract,
and he's getting it. That's the funny thing. You don't even have to say near. He's getting it. Yeah, he's getting it.
Yeah. That's crazy. But I mean, he was terrible in the series. He averaged what, like 16% from three in the series? 19 so,
and 16%
from three. 19. Oh, my bad.
No. 19 points.
That was a little bit worse. But yeah, he was terrible in the series. I don't
know. No, you're right. He's out of 16% from three. You're
accurate. Oh, 16?
Yes.
Yeah. I bet. It just seemed like it was 16% just watching him. But I think if you're talking about a series like Jason Tatum, I don't think. Although he scored, 13 points and didn't shoot that many times, he obviously got hurt on the first play of the game. So, you can't really blame Tatum that much. He was he was asserted to catch the shoot player for the rest of the game. And they needed Jaylen Brown to take over with Tatum kind of crippled, but obviously didn't happen after the first quarter. So, that happened. Derek White really carried the whole offense the entire game. Yeah, like crazy run in the third quarter, but
Brogdon, by the way, his first 3 minutes of the game, like they're up by 7. It's an issue. I always say this is why Boston, like Jimmy Butler, adequately was playmaking, as his best player. Like, he had no issues, and Bam, even as by the way, he was horrific on the offensive side as he was still doing a good job.
He was great on defense, but yeah,
playmaking, you know. And then we have Jaylen Brown over here, and Tatum to an extent as well, who cannot for the life of them, take advantage and create, because the zone defense get to the middle of the floor and let someone break it down. First of all, Joe Mazzulla took two quarters or something to actually place Tatum in the middle of the floor.
Had Horford the entire time, and he couldn't do anything.
And then Horford didn't want to shoot.
Yeah.
And my thing is, if your two best players cannot be adequate playmakers against tough defense, you're not beating anybody in big scenarios, which is why Miami won game one. I think Jimmy Butler was, even though there was a game, one of the first two games where he didn't score much, but he had a high impact in creating, which led them to end up winning anyway. But Jaylen Brown and Tatum can't do that. So, especially consistently, there'll be games where they each have 7-8 assists, but you look at what they're generating on average. Like yesterday, how many bad threes did they take in quarter one? Tremendous amount. It was crazy. Well, they're about to break. Felice was smelling history there for a second.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, all
right. it's just night and day. If you're looking at Boston's offense and Miami's offense, I mean, I think Marcus Smart said in a quote that it's just a random offense. Like, they just be doing whatever.
And that's the Christopher Miami staple. That's Christopher staple.
Oh, no.
You found a way to. That's crazy.
I'm not trying to hate. That's what it is. That's what it is. But anyway, my bad. Go ahead, Isaac. Continue your point.
No, I was saying it's just an elementary ran offense. I mean, it's expected by a 34-year-old head coach, but
Is it Will Hardy 34?
Who Hard?
Low key, I'm concerned about Ime now. I think Will Hardy may have been the one. I think maybe Will Hardy may have been the one pressing the right buttons. I'm not even gonna lie, at this point.
It's crazy, but no, it's just the coaching advantage was this. Although the talent advantage was there for Boston, I feel like the coaching advantage was probably bigger with Mazzulla and Eric Spo. The offense for Boston, it's just hard to watch a lot of times. It's just there's no movement. Miami, they put the zone on Boston and they don't know what to do. So that was kind of crazy. It was just hard to watch. Even in the first quarter, it felt like Miami was trying to give them a game in the first quarter. It was 9-4.
Bro, they literally were.
It was 9-4, 6 minutes in.
Miami's just far more shot. Yeah. More creative.
Yeah, and they had no big man. Robert Williams was feasting, and they didn't even go back to him when he was feasting.
I mean, he was sick.
He was sick?
He was vomiting.
Yeah, he was vomiting. Yeah, he was sick.
Yeah, he was very sick.
Was he sick the whole series?
No, it was just
a game seven.
That's what I'm saying.
Game two or game one where they had a big advantage with Marcus Smart, Rob Williams, two-man game was killing Miami. I can't remember if it was game one or game two. And then they just, well, they lost after halftime, games. They just stopped. After halftime, one of the games, they just stopped trying it. And it's kind of sad to think that Marcus Smart was their most reliable playmaker. Not to, obviously, yeah, Marcus Smart is a good player, but again, when it's not your best player, it's tough to win games because Miami could give the ball to Jimmy Butler and he's going to get you, he's going to create a good shot for himself or somebody else. But Jaylen Brown can't do the same. In this scenario, I'm saying Jaylen Brown, because Tatum was injured.
Yeah.
Did he have eight turnovers this day? Was it eight or nine?
Yeah, he had eight. Yeah.
My God.
I would, if I'm Boston, I'm looking to trade Brown for like.
Not after what Tatum said. He's coming back.
Yeah, but if I'm the GM, if I'm the general manager, I'm looking to trade him for like someone who not even can be like the same level of a scorer, but like who's just a lot better playmaker, and can actually dribble the ball. Who? I don't know who that would be.
Okay.
Like a point guard, shooting guard. Like, obviously, I don't know if Dame's gonna be available.
Bradley Beal. That'd be
perfect. I do not want Jaylen Brown on my team. I'm sorry. But I will say, I think Bradley Beal will be perfect in Boston because he can actually play.
They won game seven if they had him.
He's great off the ball too. So, and him and Tatum already have chemistry. So
you would literally have. I'm sorry, he'd have to be on the ball a lot in Boston because.
But yeah, that would be a perfect fit. But I don't. If I see Jaylen Brown in DC with less spacing around him and a worse coach, yeah, you'll be catching me in Houston, Texas, watching Jaylen Green.
And all right.
Well, you just go to Boston and watch Bradley Beal.
Because I cannot stand Boston.
All right, fair.
Yeah, Boston's got to make some major changes in the offseason.
That's your takeaway?
Yeah, they gotta get rid of Brown. They gotta find like. It would be an upgrade, but like, I'm not saying like they gotta trade for like Dame or some shit, but they gotta trade for a more reliable like co-star than Jaylen Brown. That can do more. Like, Azar,
I just don't know who's available, so I don't know if.
Don't know who that is, so I can't like name drop anyone.
Trae Young.
Trae Young,
I feel like Jaylen Brown, Atlanta is more like realistic than that.
Not for Trae Young. They're not trading for Trae.
Yeah, they're not trading for Trae Young. To be real,
the Celtics gotta get some backup wing players that are actually good because Grant Williams is fucking trash.
Respect him. He had that one corner three in the third quarter.
Yeah,
how do you remember that?
Trash like all season.
I remember.
How did you remember that one play?
I remember most plays in the game the day after, but once it gets a couple of days, I can't.
That's real.
It was crazy because he was good last year. He always had the game seven against Milwaukee, and he just fell off this year.
Definition of fake.
It's just sad to watch. I feel like
game seven. That's only three times Felisa said fake in this podcast.
Well, I say it all the time watching the Heat.
How'd you guys feel after games? First, Jaylen, let me ask you, what was your takeaway? Either team.
I think that Jaylen Brown needs to go to hell. But since somebody already said that, I'm gonna just go with the Heat, and I'm gonna say that this shooting is not sustainable. I do not care what anybody says. I do not care if these are NBA players, NFL players, BBA players. 58% on open shots is not real, and it's gonna be a hard lesson when they go against a defense that doesn't just give shooters open shots. And those shots don't go in. But I will say that Jimmy Butler did not deserve Eastern Conference Finals MVP. I will die on that take. It should have been 100%. But, you know, it is what it is. At the end of the day, coming back down from 3-0 is borderline impossible. The fact that the Celtics got to game seven is actually kind of impressive. But especially when they have Jaylen Brown as their second star. I knew for a fact when Jason Tatum went down early, a hole in his ankle. I was like, yeah, it's wrapped.
It's done.
So, this is a Jaylen Brown hate section of the pod. I'm crying.
It's like, it's not even hate. I'm just telling the truth because, like, I've seen all season, I'm like, Jaylen Brown is better than Tatum. Jaylen Brown is better than Tatum. Give Jaylen Brown his own team. If you give Jaylen Brown his own team, he's averaging at least 6 turnovers a game, bro.
That's what I'm saying. If he's in DC with worse spacing or just a place with worse spacing, like,
it's real defensive attention. Okay. Okay.
Bro, there were legit Rockets fans that were like tweeting that they want Jaylen Brown. I'm like, Nah.
You know the sad part about all of this is that Jaylen Brown started the game like 3 for 3. He had like three tough mid-range
shots. Yeah, he had a good first quarter.
He does that every game.
And then, yeah, exactly. And then he just, like, that was the end. That was the end of anything good.
You'll never guess which team was the one that fucking made him look fucking unstoppable fucking, like, 2 weeks ago. You'll never forget.
Is it a team in a city known for his cheesesteaks?
Yep.
Yeah, that's so embarrassing. Philadelphia could have been to the NBA Finals.
Jalen Brown,
yeah, my ass.
Embiid was not passing up that matchup. I'm not gonna lie, but anyway, Jalen Brown. My takeaway: forget about Jalen Brown. I'm not even gonna waste time on him. A year eight is about time you went to, you know, maybe you need to find. Well, where do like fifth graders go to learn how to dribble? This time, Jalen Brown. I'm not even trying to hate, like. I think all of us on the court can go left better than Jaylen Brown can.
Damn.
And that's no disrespect. It's just like when you watch something, right? Like there was a play yesterday. It was like in the third quarter or the fourth quarter where they're like cooked. And I think Bam was out there with him on the perimeter. He literally just tried to cross over right to left and he lost the ball. So
yeah,
you can't be an NBA player and do that, but that's not who we even want to focus on. I want to focus on,
before you get, you know those ball hog gloves?
Yeah, on the YouTube, yeah.
He needs those, bro.
He needs to. Oh, my God, man. 8 turnovers, and he had like 6 in the first half or something, or 5. It was bad.
Bro, that's crazy. There were Celtics fans saying they don't want to trade him for KD. They said 8 years of Jaylen Brown is better than 3 years of KD.
Well, I hope they enjoyed that performance. Lord knows what that crowd was saying when they was watching him turn it over. I will say this: props to Miami, Jimmy Butler specifically, in terms of when you are a superstar and you could create at it. You don't even have to be high level. I'm not saying you have to be a Jokic, but when you can dribble regularly, it's not like Jimmy Butler has some crazy handles, right? He just doesn't lose the ball. You can make the easy pass. You know, I'm not saying you have to do cross court pass all the time, just the easy one, and then you generate and then you play off ball off of that. That Duncan Robinson, Caleb Martin, we've seen how big he was. Then obviously that made up for how terrible Bam was offensively, in terms of that you could rely on other people to make jump shots because your best player can create. And that is the difference. Until Boston, and I think we already said this, how it feels like deja vu. Until Boston gets a top player who can create for others reliably as he can for himself, because Tatum can create for himself very well. And as for, he's not as reliable creating for others. And which is why the zone defense was a joke. Look at Denver. When teams go in zone, Jokic can sit in the middle of the floor and just pick them apart. Boston don't have that.
An NBA team should not be able to effectively run zone defense in the year 2023.
Yeah, exactly.
I think, sure.
But unfortunately, when your best player can't read a double team, can't make a simple pass to the center inside. When you need to call in Marcus Smart to turn into John Stockton to have a chance, that's where your issues reside. And you know, people thought they fixed it with Malcolm Brogdon, but clearly the guy I think he was injured, wasn't he?
He was hurt.
I'm not even gonna.
He was injured, but he was still terrible.
Right, but
he was shit.
Again, you actually need a star. You can't have a guys who are role players. They have a lot of high end role players, which is props. Good, and you're gonna need that with this new CBA. Whatever CJ McCollum was doing in that meeting, I don't know, but
yeah, the Players Association got absolutely fucking cuckolded.
Yeah, like it's bad. Like if you read the CBA, and so many teams right now are badly affected by that, and they're gonna have to like break apart their teams just because of it. But primarily, I'm talking about Boston here. You already have a Supermax designated player. Yeah, you need to move him and get someone like Bradley Beal, who's reliable and creating for others. Bradley Beal obviously is not some guy who pops off screen in terms of like 9-10 assists per game or anything, but he's very, very reliable and sound when it comes to creating for himself and creating for others and making the right play. And he certainly won't lose the ball dribbling. So if they can get that, then again, they should be once again in the same position next year. If not, I don't see them improving much more with the new CBA, with the fact that Jaylen Brown's getting $300 million. And congratulations.
Save me a spot.
Yeah, I hope he gets it. You know,
I hope he does too.
Yep, I do. I hope Klay Thompson
Is
gets a max too.
Is this contract 5 years if he gets it?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, it's $5,300. So he'd be getting annually what? That's like 60?
50 million, and then eventually it goes up to 60. Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna. Yeah, eventually it's gonna go.
Be instantly the worst contract in basketball?
One of them,
probably.
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, if he learns how to dribble right to left.
I mean, it'll be surpassed by whatever the fuck Harden's gonna get this offseason. But yeah.
Wow. Okay. Damn.
By Houston. Damn.
I'm legit not even trolling. That's the funny part. If he gets a 4-year deal, that's a terrible contract. Like.
I mean, maybe go on the vegan diet like Chris Paul and add years onto his career.
Oh, I'm so sure.
But yeah, credit to Miami. That was dazzling basketball.
Bro, and some Boston of these fucking hero players need to be investigated. Caleb Martin specifically, I need him to piss in a cup. Just need to see what he's been up to. Gabe Vincent needs to piss in a cup.
How about Duncan Robinson? Randomly?
This dude was unplayable.
Duncan Robinson getting, like, I counted, like, at least, like, 4 or 5 times that he did a fucking backdoor cut in this series. Unacceptable.
He blocked Jaylen Brown. Do y'all remember he blocked Jaylen Brown, too, last night?
On a jumper, too. Yeah.
I don't know what's going on.
I think Duncan Robinson's, like, resurgence as a shooter has been, like, a top 3 reason why Miami's kind of been in this position. Because, like, that 2-man game of Duncan Robinson and like the threat of him obviously shooting a 3, like that shit is back in the Heat offense, and it's really effective because obviously teams don't want him to shoot, and it allows like the 2-man game with him and Bam usually to be effective both sides. So
it's actually disgusting. This is a conversation.
I know
it's never fails to fucking surprise me.
As much as
he was really unplayable,
it's beautiful basketball.
He was Davis Bertans the whole regular season.
This Caleb Martin shit isn't like clearly fucking fake or just out of their mind.
Bro, it's very fake, bro. Be real.
Like, you gotta be fucking insane, bro. I'm not even saying he's bad. I'm just saying this is fake.
Level of production is not sustainable at all.
He's literally the best player across both teams.
As a matter of fact, I expect Miami to be an above average 3-point shooting team next year.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck that. I demand it, actually.
But if it doesn't happen, I swear they sold their soul to the devil. Like,
the thing is, right? I what makes me laugh about it, they're not even playing different. That's the funny thing. It's just like,
they're really not, bro.
That's the funniest part. People
telling me, oh, Caleb Martin's in a different role. Like, shut the fuck up.
No, he's not in a different role.
Don't watch Miami Heat basketball.
There's no different. They're playing Duncan Robinson is playing the same way he would have played if he wasn't on the bench all season.
Yeah.
And they're just making their shots. It's basketball is such a funny sport. Like it's hilarious.
Omar, you want to hear this? You want to hear this funny stat?
Yeah, let me hear it.
The Miami Heat shot above 45% from 3 8 times in the entire regular season. Do you know how many times they did it to Boston?
4 times.
7.
Yeah, you want to know how many times they've done it this postseason?
How 8. Much?
More times than they did in the regular season.
That's hilarious. That's, you can't write that up. That has nothing to do with playing different.
That's
basketball.
Like the perfect scenario. Maybe like Eric Spoelstra doing something, but
I'm not trying to hear coaching when they're hitting shots they were missing all year. I'm not trying to hear that bullshit.
I would understand if there is there is no adjustment. Eric Spoelstra has always been a top tier coach, even in the regular season, and they've generated good looks. They just kept bricking, and Jimmy Butler will sit out here shoot 10% from 3 82 times, and then he's gonna come in the playoffs. Boom, 52%. Like, I don't get, like, yesterday,
yeah, bro, like.
Yesterday, he stepped
bro,
into
it's
a couple
literally
tough
the
shots.
Same roster minus PJ Tucker,
and they lost 2 key players too, Tyler Herro and
Oladipo.
That's even the crazier part. It's like, well, we lost 2 players. Who cares? Heat culture. We're gonna get shit, man. Hey, Pat Riley, please give me a chance. I think I can hit 3s on your team. I don't know what y'all got over there. Put me on the court. I think I'm shooting 50% from 3. At this point, I get a fan from the
stands. It's funny because Gabe Vincent is a free agent this summer. And I think Max Strus is as well. And just watch. You just know they're going to get signed by some random team. Random. And they're just going to regress.
They're going to suck. They're going to regress.
It's funny. Like, Miami can just call anybody up.
I promise. If the 76ers signed Max Strus, he would shoot below the league average for 3-point percentage next year. For no reason at all.
No,
I think that's more of a league thing, though. Whenever shooters get paid, they just – it seems like they stop caring.
I literally watched PJ Tucker regress in real fucking time from being – him. I think he shot like 46% from – no, he was shooting like 46 at one point last year. Mm-hmm. And then this year, he can't even fucking hit a corner three. Like, this shit is embarrassing.
I think the prime example is like Davis Bertans. Duncan Robinson before he came back to his form, but –
Joe Harris, bro. What the fuck?
Oh, yeah, Joe Harris,
Joe Harris is like literally the example of that.
Joe Harris. Butt. Let's not talk about game seven.
Aside from Bertans. Something. But yeah.
No, Bertans is crazy too.
Bertans is terrible. Like, he doesn't even play.
It's all shooters, I think, when they not all, but like majority, when they get good money, it's just relaxing season for them. I mean, they peaked, right? I mean, you peaked at that point. I mean, I'm Duncan Robinson. I got 90 million. Shit. I'm peaking too. That's it. But again, it's got to be. So I don't know what the Heat culture is. Someone needs to do a background check. It's that culture, you know, with quotations. I don't know what it entails, but.
If Heat culture was a thing 13 years ago, LeBron would be Bill Russell right now.
Like, it's just funny to watch because people keep saying there's no play. They're not playing any different. Go watch any of their 82 regular season games. You're going to see the same play style, roughly, overall.
Exactly.
These guys are hitting shots.
Bro, if anything, they're hitting tougher shots now.
Like, guys are just making shots.
Gabe Vincent is hitting, like, some legitimate bullshit.
Yeah. I mean, and they're literally missing one of their more reliable shooters, if you could say anything, even though he's as inconsistent as he was. But it just shows how bad they were shooting, that Tyler Herro, one of their more consistent shooters, isn't even playing. And, well, you know, we lose Tyler Herro, we could just throw Caleb Martin out there, and he could just be more efficient Tyler Herro. Why not?
Yeah.
I feel like Max Strus, it was Max Strus last year too, that they just threw out and he was massive for them. But it's hilarious.
So, it's so fucking funny, bro.
It's the culture. It's so funny. I think there's a mentality there that of
I literally want to see like the Rockets fucking sign one of these Heat players. I really just truly want to see this shit.
For experiment.
Live action.
Just to experiment.
Sign business to 4 years, 80 mil. I promise you, you'll become the most mid player you've seen in your life.
And I just like the confidence they have is just inspirational. Like, you lose game six the way you did, you know, this 0.2 seconds. Listen, 0.2 seconds away, your whole crowd is jumping, celebrating. You know how Miami be getting, 0.2 seconds away from a party night over there on a weekend. But, you know, Derek White, boom. You know, if it was me, you know, if I was a player, I'm sure most teams would have been like, that's wraps. We going to Cancun right after this. We have to go back.
I kind of knew it wasn't. I mean, they have so many experienced players, and then they're obviously, like, mentally coached really well. So
it's the self-confidence. I mean, to buy a flight to Denver and then to report it on top of that.
I mean, was that real?
I mean, yeah. I think so. I mean, bro, they would have been playing in Denver in 2 days anyway, so it's like –
But I you get my point. They're like they adding some spice to it, you know. And then
bro, I'm sure the Celtics did the same thing.
I don't think they did, because clearly,
I mean,
they
bro, they would have been playing literally on Thursday.
Listen, Felice, it's just that organized. That's Heat culture, Felice. They booking tickets beforehand. Yeah, shit, they're gonna get their ring supplier before the finals. Even
wow, end. they're booking tickets 2 days in advance. What an organization.
Oh man. Police just all give the Heat culture credit.
Yeah, they booked the flight 2 days in advance.
Okay, so please explain, break down to me how these guys are all of a sudden just all better shooters.
I don't know. There's something gotta be in the water.
Exactly. That's the Heat culture.
People wanna tell me it's coaching. I'm like, bro, what the fuck are you talking about?
It's not coaching, because if that's the case, then Tyler Herro would be averaging 26 a game.
Like, bro, Eric Spoelstra magically motivated these players to hit shots they missed all season. Like, is that what you're telling me? Like, there's no tangible explanation. Like,
he's always had good play calling. I don't know why people act like his play calling just magically improved. It's always been good. Guys are just making shots. So,
bro, they're literally missing. They're making the same shots that were missing all regular season. Like,
it's funny because I'm pretty sure against the New York Knicks, they were pretty bad against the New York Knicks offensively.
Yeah, they shot 30% from three. The shooting wasn't the reason why they beat the Knicks. That was different.
the Knicks couldn't score outside of Jalen Brunson, and
they couldn't score and they couldn't rebound
in the big moments. Yeah, Boston's that's like the defense, only team found success.
I will say with Boston's defense, like I thought Boston played good defense, and I think they made it harder on Jimmy. specifically, they made it harder on Jimmy. Like they switched a lot, and Derek White, I thought did a good job on Jimmy, but it didn't matter at the end of the day because these motherfuckers were hitting crazy three pointers.
Bro said play good defense. Have you checked
the shot chart? The Celtics were not playing good defense this year.
I said on Jimmy Butler. They were on Jimmy Butler.
When Jimmy,
I'm saying for the most part.
Caleb Martin shooting 60% from the field.
Considering they left,
their paid defense with Robert Williams was good.
Considering they left the 3-point line open half the fucking time.
Yeah, exactly. That's the issue. And Miami shot 10% above the average.
You already clearly see like there's some satanic ritual going down there that prevents like Caleb Martin from missing threes. Then now you're just leaving him open, and now you're giving these fucking like random players confidence.
Yeah.
Hey, I was surprised how good Caleb Martin is off the ball.
They did the same bullshit against the Sixers. The Sixers just couldn't hit a fucking 3-pointer.
Yeah, the number 1 3-point shooting team went missing.
Shock of the century.
So that's the difference between Heat culture and whatever's going on in Philadelphia. So.
Thank God Nick Nurse is there now. So
let's go.
Nick Nurse don't got heat culture with him. You need Pat Riley for that heat culture.
Nope, we got Nick Nurse terrorist defensive schemes.
How's that gonna help you, Judy?
It's not.
We're gonna win defensive games. We win in defensive games out here.
It's not,
bro. Nick Nurse will literally box and one the Stars' best player or the team's best player, like.
We're running 1-3-1 zone.
Who's we?
Nurse is a hilarious coach, man.
What's that? Who's we? Nah,
who's we? Harden's gone. Who's we?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
Harden's on to Houston, bro. He's going back home.
Oh, I'm super sure.
I was gonna say he can still say we because Harden's going back to Houston.
You know what's funny is every time Feliz says super sure, it actually happens. I don't know if you should.
It actually happens, bro. It literally.
I don't know if you should keep saying that.
Bro, okay. Said last week he said I'm super no. For after like game two, he was like, I'm super sure Caleb Martin's gonna continue shooting as well.
Bro, he said I'm super sure. And like this was it December or was it like November? He's like, I'm super sure we're getting Rodgers, and it happened. So, I'm telling you, this guy, whatever he says, super sure. I told him about Carlos Correa. He said, I'm super sure that's gonna happen. It did happen. So
you were trolling. That's there's a difference. I've never seen a troll come to life like that in my life, bro.
Listen, when Otani's arriving aboard too soon. But anyway, that's a different sport. Let's not get too distracted. Mm-hmm. Yeah, say I'm so sure, please. I need that. I need it badly. Come on.
Well, he's a Dodger, so.
He's not going to give it to us.
It's so funny how Felice says it sarcastically and it just happens.
I'm not trolling.
You're so sure that the Giants will not make the playoffs two times in a row?
Okay, we don't need you to say that.
To the Jags?
Giants.
The Giants. We don't need you.
Yeah, I thought you said Jags.
All right.
Why would he care about the Jags?
Yeah, I was about to say, that's a random question.
That's such a random thing to say, yeah.
All right. Now we got one more series left. I would say, I'm not going to make my prediction. I'm going to let you guys take the floor. Two final teams, congratulations.
I almost want to say the opposite of what I think will happen. I almost do. I almost really do.
Jimmy Butler, congratulations to you and the Heat. Jokic as well. All right. Who y'all got? And how many games and why?
Shit. I mean, I definitely think with how Miami played, if Miami plays how they did against Boston in terms of the defense and the zone, Jokic is going to rip them apart. Like, he's going to destroy that zone defense. So,
bro, he's going to catch the rarest disease on earth because heat culture.
Heat culture, nah, he's like 20%.
I'm interested, though, to see, like, how how Expo kind of hooks up with his defense. Because
Kevin Love is not playing in the series. Who? He's like, no way. Kevin Love is not playing in the series.
Was he hurt?
I'd imagine.
I think Hayward Highsmith took his minutes.
Kevin.
Kevin Love is not playing in this series. Objectively, it's not happening.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm going to make an early prediction. I think Jokic averages over 33 points in the series.
If God is real, Jokic will average over 33 a game.
30.
Yeah, that would be real. Like, I just see Miami having an option. I mean, Bam Adebayo is good defensively, but he's just too short to guard Jokic.
He's undersized, severely undersized.
If AD couldn't stop Jokic, I don't see why Bam would be able to.
Nah, even though Bam's a good defender, he's more like a versatile defender. And yeah, Jokic is going to shoot over him. So I don't see that happening. I will say, I think Jimmy Butler has a really good series. Like, I don't really see the Nuggets having an answer for him, but
Gordon.
He should be able to attack all – I mean, he should be able to attack Gordon all series.
Yeah, I mean, the Nuggets have allowed – the opposing stars.
They'll let you get in the paint. Series. Jimmy Butler lives in there.
The thing is with the Nuggets are more built to stop players that play with like power than players that play with like speed with like Anthony Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
Like Anthony Edwards had like a fucking generational like first round against the fucking Nuggets. So then fucking Kevin Durant was mid against them.
Mm-hmm.
Kat was mid against them. Fucking LeBron was
I thought Kevin Durant, it was more so him. He was getting good looks.
I mean, he wasn't awful outside of one game. He was pretty bad, like game two. I'm pretty sure in Denver, he started out 1 of 8. He was getting good looks.
He was bad in the elimination game, too.
Yeah, I mean, elimination game, obviously, but they were getting their ass beat, so I can't even, like, you know.
Yeah, and Devin Booker elimination games, you know what happened.
You knew what was going to happen. We knew what was going to happen.
But, yeah, the Nuggets have been able to stop players that play with more, like, a power-type game. So, I don't know. It should be interesting to see what they do with Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy, we can't settle, though. If he starts doing his little turnaround mid-range shots and all that
nonsense, I hope he does.
It's not going to work. He needs to get in the paint. Because I know the refs, they love themselves some Jimmy. So, he should be able to generate a lot of whistles.
Clearly do.
So,
in that lock, I will say, Jimmy Butler a lot of times can be indecisive, like, in game six, a lot of times, like, he did not kind of go to the rim. I did not even look at the rim a lot of times. Like, he would just, like, settle and kind of look away from the rim and try to play me. I think he needs to be aggressive, like, the entire series if he have a chance.
Yes, to just attack the rim, take 20 shots a game.
Like, there'll be moments where he's, like, he has a straight line to the rim, and he's, like, he's like pump faking for no reason.
He's pump faking, trying to see if somebody jumps, and he's going to the free throw line.
Oh, he'll give it to Caleb Martin.
Shit all the time
on the perimeter.
And I'm interested to see how Mike Malone counters Miami shooting threats, because he was more than happy to leave, obviously, and rightfully so, players open against
the Lakers.
Exactly, yeah. Against the Lakers, he was happy to leave guys open.
I mean, yeah, they're not a good jump shooting team, so.
In Minnesota, they scrambled very well. They did a good job. In Minnesota, they really essentially let Anthony Edwards get his, and they didn't really start doubling or trapping a very minuscule amount of times. And then they went away from it because obviously Minnesota then got pretty decent looks. So I'm interested to see how they could – Miami could certainly pose a problem. If they can't stop Jimmy Butler and keep him contained, then I think Miami can find some really good looks. But then, again, I just don't think Miami's defense is going to be any better suited to stop Denver. That's the issue. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
Minnesota had two centers on at the same time, and Jokic still got what he wanted for the most part.
Considering the Nuggets have some athletic wing, they're not going to be able to play, like, they're not going to play Kevin Love at all, so they're going to play what? LeBron and power forward, probably. So then you got a bunch of like 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", like players. And then your tallest player is like Bam, who's what, 6'9"? And that's being generous. It's like they just don't have eyes to like stop Jokic.
And then Aaron Gordon, obviously, then they could always pivot to small ball center when Jokic needs to rest. So, I mean, Denver just has too much versatility against Miami, who's lacking it. And I don't know. I'm not going to keep down on them, Miami, because they, for whatever reason, it just never ends.
At some point.
I'm going to have to say Denver in like six. I don't know. I'm going to say Denver is six.
Say Denver, yeah, I feel like.
For me, also, like, I feel like Bam needs to, like, assert himself, too, because he's been borderline unplayable on offense. And I feel like, you know, it's kind of like the Sabonis thing with him. It's like teams are just going to lay off of him, and they know he's really good inside, and he has no jumper at all. At least he's inconsistent. Like, that turnaround he does around the free throw line, it's like
– that shit is not going in half the time.
It's so inconsistent, and so – That's like kind of been my criticism over him, like over the past, I would say, 3 or so years. I would say since the bubble, because he had bubble playoffs, but ever since that bubble series, like, he's just been really bad or just inconsistent in the playoffs. So if he can assert himself, then I feel like Miami might push it. But yeah, I'm gonna go with Denver in six. I think Miami gets two crazy shooting games in Miami. And then Denver finishes them off in game six.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I disagree with that. I think that Denver beats them in four because, yeah.
Wow, damn.
I think Denver sweeps the series. And I don't think Denver plays with their food. They know what they're up against. First two games in Denver, coming off of game seven.
Oh, my God, the altitude.
3-day
finally.
Altitude, bro. It's just not, you know, it's not going down like people think it's going down. They're gonna lose this game. They're gonna lose this series, and they're gonna lose this series in a quick manner.
These Heat players are gonna be seeing eye floaters in fucking Denver.
They're gonna be seeing.
That's my circles. One concern is Denver has 9 days, and then now Miami has to go to high altitude with like no days.
Michael Malone has had 9 days to prepare.
Oh, he's ready. He's a madman. I know he got some exquisite ready. Actually, respect Ryan Saunders.
He's sitting back watching film.
Ryan Saunders, their defensive coach.
Okay, buddy.
Oh, whoa. What the respect to Ryan Saunders. That's a young legend on the way.
That's a Timberwolves legend.
Okay. That's Flip Saunders. His son don't got that credit yet. But yeah, no, Denver, I got him six. I just don't think Miami has the facilities to stop Denver. As good as their defense can be, I don't see a reality where they're undersized defense can last a chance against. And then number two, both of Denver's top players can create well, so yeah.
And then the thing with Denver is Miami's defense is predicated on switching. If they're gonna switch, Bam can't switch. That shit just can't happen, because Jokic is just gonna fucking like legit average like 35 if they switch everything. Mm-hmm. And then Michael Porter Jr., he's not afraid to use his size in the post. Jamal Murray, he's like one of like the more like active like fucking guards in the post. So that's another one.
Yeah.
And Aaron Gordon as well. He just abuses his size inside too.
Yeah, Aaron Gordon as well. When he gets mismatches.
He will have a mismatch if they do, as you said, if they do end up going Caleb Martin at the four, that's already an automatic mismatch for him.
Yep.
Yeah. And if they're playing switch everything defense, which they probably will,
too much headache for Miami to figure out. They don't have the facilities. Jamal Murray can break down a zone. So can Jokic. Their two-man game is effective, efficient, lethal. Their best players can easily kick out and make the right play. And then they're far more consistent shooting than Boston. They're not even in the same realm, I don't think, when it comes to consistency across the board. When it comes to making jump shots, so and obviously they have
coaching wise as well,
as exactly. And then obviously Denver has a home court that nobody else does, and it's real effect, the Mile High air. So yeah. All signs
to
I
legit
finally, say
role player is gonna start missing shots.
I'll just say honestly, because Denver has done a good job covering the perimeter as well. I'm so tempted, as Jalen did, to say Denver is four, but that Heat culture, man, I got to give him two. Literally, that's the only reason I can't even give you. An on the court logical reason outside of obviously Jimmy being able to draw a tremendous
amount of fouls. Miami, he defy logic,
right? And then rim pressure, obviously Miami can keep pressuring the rim and not give in. But obviously, I don't know. Denver has great perimeter defenders across the board, especially in this postseason with their bench players if need be.
Except Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray is not exactly a good defender.
Yeah. No. It's Aaron Gordon does a great job. KCP does a great job. Even I'm not really a fan of
Bruce Brown, defense,
but Bruce Brown exactly. Christian Braun,
Christian Braun's another body they could throw in there.
Jeff Green has shockingly been impressive on that end.
That man never ages.
He's never Jeff gonna get a ring.
Everybody's
this been is good for basketball.
Uptick.
Has Jeff played for good. All of our teams?
This is a not mine.
Not mine.
I used to play for Timberwolves. He played for the Clippers, right?
No. I'm almost positive Jeff Green was on the Clippers at one point.
I swear he was, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. He was in like 2017, I'm pretty sure. It was like 2017, bro. I forgot Jeff Green was a Clipper. He won like number 8, I'm pretty sure.
But yeah,
damn, Omar has had the privilege of Uncle Jeff. Well, I mean, Omar is apparently a Nets honorary Nets man, so technically he has.
Yeah, exactly. So true. He was in our good years. Before Kyrie's ankle got exploded. It was fun.
He was the second best player in the playoffs, Uncle Jeff.
You know, so hey, outside of Jimmy Butler getting Jokic into foul trouble and being able to penetrate like LeBron did, he should be able to. I'd be shocked if he wasn't. And Miami kind of takes what really Anthony Edwards and LeBron kind of showed you the blueprint. Unless obviously you could shoot as well as Devin Booker can, but we know nobody on Miami has the facilities to do that. So actually, I lied.
Yeah, I lied.
But
Omar, isn't it kind of crazy that the Timberwolves have like low key been like the only threat the Nuggets have like even faced in the playoffs, like at all?
I'm not shocked. I expected that. I'm not even trying to beat some bias.
Threat is a stretch, honestly.
But listen,
the Suns were never going to win that series. The Lakers, you just knew they weren't going to win that series.
And the Timberwolves were never going to win that series.
We were injured.
They weren't going to win, but at least they caused some issues. Like
we didn't have.
They probably should have won Game 5.
We should have won Game 4. Was it? No, not Game 4. We didn't win. Game 5, we should have won. We were up by like 17 points or something. And then the referees obviously decided they wanted Denver to move on. So,
yeah, Rudy Gobert, I thought, played Jokic like probably
Game
the best
2. Game 2 was the one that was really painful to end up losing. Because we went down like 24. Then we came back and took like a 6-point lead. You remember when Edwards and Jamal Murray both dropped 40 in the same game? And then obviously Jamal Murray went crazy to end the game. So I think if Jaden played, that's a 6-7 game series. But he decided, you know what he decided to do? Decided to, I'm not even going to keep talking about that guy.
He decided to pull on Amari Stoudemire.
That's going to make me so angry. Game 82 in this halftime, really? That's the game you pick? Down
did
by
punch
5 points.
Or did he punch a fire extinguisher?
He punched the metal. Thing about Timberwolves locker room when you enter is the wall is covered by this like paper tape thing, and you cannot see the fact that there's metal railings behind it. So he punched
it. At least he didn't punch a fire extinguisher.
No. But like if Jamal Murray even talked about it, like Jaden, he said Jaden plays like. If you look at the statistics, how Jaden plays Jamal Murray is he just takes him out of games completely. And when you're missing your one of the best defenders in the NBA, like bro, Mike Conley's 36 years old and he had to guard Jamal Murray, bro. Like that's
bad news.
Yeah, Mike Conley hasn't been a good defender in like half a decade at least.
Okay, he looks good just because of D'Lo. I'm not even gonna lie. Like I watched this dude on screen. I thought he was a generational defender, but obviously compared to D'Lo.
I mean, when you were watching D'Lo for over 100 games in a row.
And Nikhil, I want to give credit to Nikhil also. Like, I think he played Jamal Murray the best in the playoffs so far, defensively.
Yeah.
So, if we had that Jaden Nikhil comp, I'm telling you, and Naz Reid, Naz Reid going against Jokic. Oh, my God, we got so unlucky this year with injuries. But, yeah.
It was barbecue chicken.
I think it definitely gives the Timberwolves excuses to not get rid of Chris Finch and run it back. So,
damn, another year of Omar complaining about Chris Finch. Classic.
I'm ready for October. What's the game? Why? October 18, 19, whatever that may be. Hey, guys, I'll be there with my first Chris Finch message.
That's real.
And I really hope he proves me wrong and I look like an idiot. That would be the most ideal. But
I think something that we forgot to mention is, I think, isn't Tyler Hero coming back in game three?
Apparently.
Yeah, he was upgraded to, like, questionable before game 7. I was like, what the fuck?
How rusty will he be coming back?
Fake?
That's going to be...
That was fake.
Yeah, that was so fake. That was fake. That's fake news, guys. That's fake news, guys.
Oh, it was?
Yeah. Word? That's fake news. We don't want to be clipped like Malika Andrews, guys.
I think Chris Haynes said they're trying to get him back for game 3.
He's going to be quite rusty, though, regardless.
The most heat thing would be if you came back and it was like he never left. The dude was like, dropping 27 points.
Hey, Zada, I wouldn't even be shocked if that happened. I'm not even going to lie to you. I wouldn't need.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it would be the most Heat thing if that happened.
Like Jimmy Butler.
Oh my god, he's gonna return in Miami too. Oh, this is sickening. Jimmy Butler's disgusting. They know what they're doing.
No, listen, Miami. I can't keep down that culture because basketball wise, if you actually look on that, like what's gonna happen on the basketball floor, it's just not much avenues for them outside of hoping they get a favorable whistle when they attack the hoop.
Shocker that it will happen.
I mean, they'll finally have someone else that can kind of create his own shot. I mean, obviously Caleb Martin has, but besides Jimmy Butler, I mean,
yeah,
maybe Caleb Tyler Hero can.
Because interesting enough, you look at it like Miami did struggle. The one player they faced that can do a great job shooting and creating for others, they struggled against Jalen Brunson. So,
yep.
I mean, obviously, right. Chris Middleton, they also did struggle against Chris Middleton to an extent. Obviously, he had some bad games in there too, but he was in and out for most of the year. But the one player that they placed all postseason that's very consistent in that regard, they did struggle with. And then, so I'm interested to see now where you face Jamal Murray and Jokic, and then now surrounding them is elite shooters. And then that Denver obviously not going to give up rebounds like that. You know what I mean? They're not going to sit out and have lapses on the glass. So, it's just such a tough matchup, right? And they're the 8th seed. I don't know what it's not even credit to them that are even talking about them like this. So
we were one fucking Bulls not choking a game away from talking about the most random team in the Eastern. And representing the East right now.
Didn't Max Strus have like a 34 point game that game?
Yeah, he made himself a lot of money just based off that one game.
It's Heat culture, man. At this point, you just got to give it to Pat Riley. I don't know, Spoelstra, their nutritionist.
So, you know what's so crazy is that they made two moves in the trade deadline, and they were not big moves at all. Like
they literally traded Wayne Dedman.
Yeah, and they got Kevin Love, and
was a nobody.
Yeah.
And of course, Jimmy Butler just
they didn't even trade for him. They just legit
they got him. Yeah.
And then Jimmy Butler now has the best soundbite of the decade almost. Last year when he said we're gonna be back in this situation and win, and then of course,
right? He just be saying shit, praying it happens.
Wherever he's praying, it's working out. I'm just saying.
He be writing a lot of checks that he cannot cash, but whatever.
Gonna say last year we're gonna be back in the same situation, we're gonna win this time, and it happened the same day a year later.
Speaking of that, that's what Jalen Brown did. Yeah. Don't let us get one,
don't let us get one,
let him get three, and he still lost. Oh my god,
and you know,
they was getting ready to make a documentary.
That was such a moment for Jalen Brown to solidify his legacy if he just had a great game.
Right,
great. Just be mid.
Do you know the shouts he would have had if he ended up pulling the team through with Tatum injured?
Exactly, it was right there for him. Like
his legacy.
Bro, if Jalen Brown would have been mid, it would have been a legitimately like contested game.
But instead, he's gonna hit three quick shots and then decide, yeah, guys, I'm going to Cancun.
Bro started off like he was 3 for 3, and then he went like 0 for his next like 8 or something.
Yeah, no confidence.
There were two plays where he got poked. The ball got poked from behind. It was like back to back with Jimmy Butler.
Yeah. Couldn't break down Duncan Robinson. I don't know how that's even possible.
Just embarrassing. Team playing zone defense and you can't score. Like, shit truly infuriates me.
It's funny because Al Horford generated the best look in the first quarter against the zone. He like pump fake, got to the middle of the floor and kicked out for an easy corner three, and then nobody else could replicate that. Really.
They needed to put Tatum in the middle, but of course
they did that one play in the third quarter.
They did one play. I think it worked, right?
Yeah, he made a midi. I think he hit the mid range shot or he bricked it. But regardless, it was the best look they had against the zone. And then they just, yep, we're not doing that again, guys. Joe Mazzulla has a lot to learn. I'm not gonna lie, he has a lot to work on.
Well,
I don't think he'll get fired. Honestly,
he's not getting fired because he almost pulled the greatest comeback in fucking North American sports. So,
I'm not going to even blame him for Game 7. You can't really write up a more disaster than Tatum's ankle being turned to mush 20 seconds in.
And your players just missing shots they hit all season.
Yeah.
For the most part.
I think he was good from Game 5 to – I said Game 5. From Game 4 to 6, honestly. I'm going to be honest. Like, I don't think
he was
that
shit
bad
games 0-3.
Yeah. But he was good.
Even game, was it game two? I'm not even gonna lie. Like Gabe Vincent cooked Tatum to end the game. I don't even know what you're supposed to do about that.
Yeah. Mazzulla's weird, bro, because this guy was on the verge of getting outcoached by Doc Rivers.
Funny coach. Took a Tatum masterclass in game.
At least he's 34, so.
Fourth quarter.
Yeah, games. if the Suns hire Doc, I will laugh hysterically.
I mean, I hope so. We need that.
I genuinely do hope that happens.
They're gonna hire his name is.
The West is getting annoying. Hopefully not. Can we stop getting top players coming to the West for once? Even Victor's coming West.
Keep them going.
People are not gonna come West.
Keep them going.
What the hell do you mean keep them going? You're a Rockets fan.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Well, we're not winning any games soon, so that's not my problem.
I'm James Harden, Pascal Siakam.
Where did Pascal Siakam
come from?
Okay, to be fair, Raptors contacted the Rockets about pick four. That's why I said that.
Yeah, they're not trading the pick for fucking Pascal Siakam.
I mean, why not?
What do you not?
Got enough young talent on your team as it is.
They got Sengun. Why do they need Pascal? Yeah.
Did you just say Sengun?
Yeah, all right.
We're getting off track. all right. Finals MVP prediction for I think everybody's going to have the same name. Yeah, okay. All right.
Nicole,
Dylan, are you going to get crazy with this? Or you
nah, my bad, bro. I meant Caleb Martin.
Oh, man. If Caleb Martin was
a MVP, I promise you. Media voters aren't giving him no damn MVP.
Bro, I'm legit not watching the sport of basketball if Caleb Martin wins finals MVP.
What's final MVP? I'll pay anybody in here $500. I promise.
Shit, anything's better than Iguodala in 2015.
All right, thank you, Jay. You just gave me something to root for.
Bro, it's crazy how Iguodala won in fucking 2015, but they want to hold the shit out of Caleb Martin.
And, you know, for being a LeBron stopper, do not search up LeBron James stats, guys.
Just don't.
I mean, his efficiency was terrible, but yeah.
I mean, what it is. Yeah, who cares? I mean, the guy was playing the whole team by himself. True. Certainly wasn't.
I mean,
just
he had
Iguodala.
The Curry stopper on his team. What do you mean?
All right, buddy.
Oh, okay, okay.
All right, man.
Okay.
He had Knicks legend Amon Shumpert on the team, so I don't know. What you talking about?
I'm gonna ask y'all. Do y'all think this finals will be better than last year?
What was last year's finals? I'm having brain damage.
Celtics Warriors.
That's so crazy. That's so crazy.
You about to ask that? Last year's finals.
I had to get
not memorable at all.
Last year's finals were terrible. I'm sorry.
Last year's finals, even though we went to six, most games was a blowout, wasn't it? There's like only two close ones.
Most games were just so fucking fake. Like it was literally just a battle of who could make a 20-0 run.
Oh man.
Yeah, it was.
It was literally a series of runs.
Yeah, it was legit a series of pure runs, bro.
Azad, I wish I could say that. I don't think so.
And then you had the Jordan Poole moment.
Mark
my
word, I think
basketball
this year's finals
Twitter
be better.
I don't think it's gonna be better just because
Jordan Poole half court shot ruined Discord.
That shit ruined fucking Twitter for like months.
Bro, he was in conversations with like LaMelo and Anthony Edwards all summer.
It's not even that. It's just the video.
It was funny.
Honey, I see you.
That video legit ruined my Twitter experience.
Bro, NBA Twitter is funny because, look, if you look at 12 months, you'd think the guy was the next rising star. And now, look, you think he's just a guy on the way to China. Look at people.
Switch up so fast.
Like,
bro, then they started making those videos for everybody. Started making them for Tatum.
All right. Jordan Poole started a nasty trend. He needs to relax.
Draymond, the next
Warriors GM might just trade him, so.
Oh, yeah, Bob Myers is gone.
He's a Texan.
Yeah.
You guys should have waited. Why didn't the Wizards just... Okay, actually, Bob Myers, I'm not going to lie. I wouldn't want him as my GM. I'm not even gonna lie.
We got the Clippers.
He's a good drafter.
He's a terrible drafter. What do you mean he's a good drafter?
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Bro, he wasn't there when these top guys were drafted. You know that, right?
Who was their GM?
It was somebody else. It wasn't him. He came in 2013.
You're lying.
Right? I'm serious. Bro, you missed on all his draft picks.
Who are you talking about?
Bob Myers. He was not there. I'm checking right now, bro.
It was Bob Myers.
I think he's going to take a year off.
He was hired as an assistant in 2011.
You see,
but he was promoted to the GM in 2012. Exactly. And that's when he drafted Draymond.
He drafted Klay in 2012.
He wasn't. I don't think he was the GM when Klay got drafted.
No, I'm literally looking at his Wikipedia page.
Right?
Was he the GM that drafted Klay?
No.
He was the GM that drafted Draymond.
Okay, I'll give him that. I'll give him that.
But, like, recently it's been kind of...
He drafted Wiseman, Kuminga, bro. Like, he had some top picks.
Yeah, he drafted
Coro. Well, they won four titles, so... I don't care.
Well, he won could've... four titles because whoever drafted Steph Curry did his job.
They and Klay Thompson. This year.
He also... I'm pretty sure he was the one that traded Monte Ellis for...
Bogut
as well.
I will say this. Bob Myers' mistake... Yeah, that was 12. Yeah, 2012, yeah.
Oh, he wasn't GM then, right? So he's GM 2013?
I literally... He was legit hired as GM.
Bro, you can't give assistant GM the credit, bro.
I sure can.
He was... No, I'm saying he was hired as their GM April 24th, 2012.
Okay, so was the bulky trade after that or before that?
I'm pretty sure it was after.
Okay, I'll give him credit. The Draymond draft is a great, great, great pick. I'm going to give him that. But
yeah, they didn't draft Draymond. They're not winning four titles.
But he has missed significantly lately, and he's had some really good picks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like the Wiseman thing, like that whole situation, picking quote-unquote fit over LaMelo Ball, that exact shit is the reason why the Hornets should pick Scoot over Brandon Miller,
exactly.
Don't give them ideas.
Like if they go the Bob Myers route or the Warriors route, then
that'll be
the most Hornets thing ever. The most Hornets thing ever.
Bro. I don't have anything against Brandon Miller. I think he could be very good too, but you can't pass on Scoot for that. You can't.
Yeah, you can't. In general, you can't draft fit over best player available by far,
especially when you're that high up.
Especially because you gotta give Bob Myers some credit, bro. He signed Iguodala too. Come on, man.
I'm not giving him. I'm just saying if I'm seeing Golden State team building in the last 6 years, do I have confidence in Bob Myers?
I mean, in the last 6 years, they won three titles. So
what is he? Okay, he was the Warriors president.
KD was not coming because of Bob Myers, bro.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind Bob Myers in DC.
But... You guys already got one. You just got one, bro.
No, we GM. We have our president or operation.
Yeah, he's the one who makes all the decisions. The GM is useless at that point.
I mean, that's true, I guess. But we're still looking for a GM. So.
Yeah, but Bob Myers would probably try.
Damn, any hired Steve Kerr. I mean, where would they be without Bob Myers?
Why are you praising the Warriors, bro?
This is insane praising. I see what Felice cooking up now. I see the vision.
You have Rafael Stone, bro. Chill out.
I don't even care about that dude. His clock will start ticking when the draft happens. Anyways, I'm just looking. These are top moves being made here. Sign JaVale McGee. Like, come on, man.
Sign JaVale McGee.
Get a grip.
Who the hell is this?
Yeah, exactly.
There's no way this is a real draft pick.
There you go.
Sign JaVale McGee. Get a grip.
There you go. Buddy. Bro, drafted Wiseman over LaMelo Ball, bro.
Who is Jacob Evans, like, deadass?
He's not real, bro.
I recognize that name.
I do. I think he played for the Timberwolves. I think they traded him to the Timberwolves in D'Lo trade.
Okay, that was clear.
He traded for Wiggins too.
Bro, this dude even signed Dan Wilhouse. Like, you got it.
He traded for Wiggins. That was a great trade.
Yeah, the Wiggins trade was a masterclass. That was a real good trade. Yeah.
This guy signed Dan Wilhouse in 2018. You got it. He drafted Jordan Poole. I mean, come on, man.
All right. I just wanted him to go to a team with the top pick like Houston and get to pick it.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, whoa. Okay, so he's great, but then you're going to say yeah. Yeah, like what? You just said he's great. Would you not want that?
I mean, Rafael Stone's not getting fired, so
it's not so bad. I just wanted to go to any
as he what?
Team. No, I'm just playing.
What?
I'm playing. Chill out.
All right, I appreciate y'all coming on. we'll be back soon enough to wrap up the season. Isn't the draft like a week after the season ends?
Yeah.
23rd or something.
I like it's usually NFL, like yeah. Isn't the NFL draft and then a lot like yeah. It's like a few months after
the Super Bowl. Like 2-3 months after, yeah.
Yeah. NBA offseason.
Bro, you know trades could literally happen like as soon as the finals like end, right?
Yeah, yep.
They just won't be made official. Like we traded Christian Wood like a random day in June, like before the draft.
And I think a lot of trades gonna be fired. Portland pick is definitely getting traded soon, like the moment the season ends.
Yeah, it's getting traded for Embiid.
Okay, that's a crazy scenario. I don't think that's happening, but if
Kawhi Leonard, Embiid, you are Portland Trailblazing.
If not the Clippers, I wouldn't mind that, honestly, getting to restart with Scoot Henderson.
I want Scoot Henderson so bad. I really do hope that the fucking Hornets troll. He's
probably the best. I mean, there's a lot of players, but he's probably the best point guard prospect I've watched in a minute.
John Wall.
So yeah, I would say him, John Wall, kind of nasty. Fultz, Markelle Fultz.
Yeah, Fultz, Fultz, yeah.
Fultz, that boy, Fultz is really good.
Oh my goodness.
But yeah, I think people aren't mind how crazy this offseason is about to be. This is going to be a crazy offseason.
We're going to be very active in the trade market, apparently.
He's going to be going crazy.
He's kind of mid, so.
I think this postseason may have given teams a lot of hope. They're closer to contending than they think. We may see some crazy moves.
Morey.
But Morey ain't doing nothing, bro. He playing Minecraft. Just forget about him.
You got it, bro.
But I don't think Philly making any moves, bro.
They will. Per top sources.
Top sources. We're all going to say his top source is Brian Windhorst. All right. I appreciate y'all. Okay. I shouldn't even disrespect him. He's actually cooking last summer. But I appreciate y'all coming on. And we'll see y'all in, who knows, maybe we'll see y'all in 4 short games. Maybe we'll see y'all in 7 long games. Never know. With Miami Heat.